one of my faves. What does Joe say? Turn this orchestra up?
Turn it. Well, yeah, usually turn it down, but yeah.
Yeah, give it up.
Yeah, down 35, trying to get up to that cabin with the boat. Traffic has just stopped. Trying to get up north to the cabin there. It is the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. Yours truly, Kurt Copeland. Glad to be here this afternoon. As Royce is off, Chris Reavers, thank you for inviting me to be
Absolutely.
Here,
I've been excited about this upcoming interview for about 24 hours now.
And this is a lot of fun. This is kind of weird. I suppose I should explain a little bit, not only to the audience once again, but also to our guest, the kind of unique nature of this whole thing. I was born and raised here in Minnesota. Born in your hometown of Faribault, raised in Owatonna, spent a little bit of time in St. Cloud, obviously getting into the radio business, spent 5-6 years here in Minneapolis, and then I go to St. Louis in 2005, where I have now been ever since, and became a diehard, rabid, crazy Cardinals fan. And I mean, I still have a lot of respect for the Twins. I guess you could say they're my American League team, and I make it up here a lot.
Just like the Birds are my National League team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I am a stupid, crazy, huge Cardinals fan, and it's pretty cool to have one of the voices of St. Louis Cardinals baseball on the air with us, Mr. Rick Horton. How are you, sir?
Oh, good to be with you guys. I'm happy to join you for your fun fest on a Friday afternoon and talk a little baseball, and also glad to hear that you both have some affinity for my favorite team, which I'm getting ready to watch here in Colorado.
You are in Denver as the Cardinals begin a weekend stand against the Rockies. Carlos Martinez on the bump tonight. Let's talk first about the current state before we jump in to say that 1987 World Series. Talk about my Cardinals right now. What's going on?
Well, we're up and down a little bit. We've had some great runs with the starting pitching. In fact, the last 2 weeks it's been phenomenal. Our top five guys there have really done a good job, but we're just not scoring runs. Defense is down a little bit, which anybody that's followed the Cardinals for years knows that that's usually a big part of the team and something we've been good at. But this year, it's really not the strong point. The pitching has been just losing a lot of close games, just kind of hovering around 500. And right now, playing a team that's red hot in Colorado, so holding my breath here for this series at Coors Field.
I know it's early, but is it fair to put Mr. Mike Leake in Cy Young conversation?
Yeah, it's always hard to do that. I mean, if you had to pick it now, you'd say no question. The first quarter of the season, he's been as good as anybody, if not the best pitcher in the National League. And, of course, it's a long season. And so, you know, I always hesitate to go too far with that because a lot of things can happen between now and the end of the year. You know, not just him. We've also got some really good work out of Michael Wacha, who did not pitch well yesterday. Carlos Martinez is getting better. And Lance Lynn's been great, too. So, really, the rotation for the Cardinals has been awesome. A little bit of a bullpen problem issue. Mike Leake is really been fun to watch, though. He's a little bit old school in the fact that he's not throwing 147 miles an hour like everybody else seems to be doing, and he's still finding ways to carve up hitters.
One of the things I love to see is Adam Wainwright, you know, a bit of a tough start, but just a true veteran, really bearing down, and you know, if he doesn't have the best stuff, he's going to find a way.
He's certainly that, and he's a leader on the team, and everybody respects Adam Wainwright. If you've been around him for more than 5 minutes, you realize he's such a quality guy. And, you know, that stuff still plays well in my mind in baseball. You think chemistry doesn't matter, and, you know, leadership doesn't matter, good examples don't matter, but until you spend 162 days with a bunch of guys, you realize how much it does matter. And Wainwright is really important to this team, has not pitched well, but he's getting better.
Rick, you know, the Cardinals, in my opinion, have had basically the blueprint of long-term sustained success over the last decade plus with how they've run their organization. Did they have to change the philosophy going into this past offseason, just given how good the Cubs turned themselves into and how young the Cubs turned themselves into, and given that they play in one of the deepest and best divisions in all of baseball?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a temptation to want to say, how do you keep up with the Joneses on the north side of Chicago, because they were unbelievable last year and did a lot of things well, and they're back in first place again in the Central in the National League. And their starting pitching was really, I mean, I know that we talk a lot about their young lineup, but I still think the starting pitching is why the Cubs were so good last year, which is why they're just a little bit better than 500 this year. Their starting pitching, including Arrieta, have not been great. I mean, they've been good, but not great. And so I still think it comes down to that. Starting pitching is a key, and the Cardinals are going to stay with that direction and not maybe go too crazy. It's interesting. Last year, the Cardinals hit a bunch of home runs. We signed a bunch of guys that would either strike out or hit home runs, And that was good for a while, but it wasn't sustainable for an offense. And they tried to make some changes with that, get a little faster. And I think they're trying to develop some young players that have more defensive skills and good foot speed as well. And we'll see how that happens.
You know, and given that they went outside and signed a guy like Dexter Fowler, was that a move made because of the loss of the draft picks that they had this past offseason, in that they weren't going to lose a pick because they went out and signed a free agent like that? Was that a move that they would not have done had they had those picks in place, Rick?
Actually, I think it was a move they were compelled to do regardless of the picks, because they had two guys playing center field that weren't center fielders. And, Randall Grichuk and Steven Piscotty were dabbling in center, and they're really corner outfielders. And so you really felt like, man, we really need a guy that can just go get it in the gaps. And Fowler's not, I wouldn't say he's got the greatest range in all of baseball as far as center fielders, but he's a solid, he's really a center fielder. So I think they got him for that reason, and also for the fact that he's a leadoff hitter. You know, Matt Carpenter had been in that role, but with losing a lot of the pop I talked about from a year ago, no Brandon Moss, no Matt Holliday, you've got to get somebody to drive in runs in the middle of the lineup, and they wanted Matt Carpenter to do that. So that's what he's doing, so he's out of the leadoff role. So Fowler really was able to fill in a couple of places.
You know, I enjoyed listening to the broadcast, of course, KMOX, of that big 50,000-watt signal, as I drove the 10 hours from St. Louis up here last night. And so I was like, you know, it's going to be a long night on the road, but I'll have John Rooney and Rick Horton with the game. And so I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed listening to you. And since the Cardinals just left Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine, for Denver, I wanted to talk about your time there in Los Angeles, World Series championship in 1988 against the Oakland A's, and your dear friend Tommy Lasorda recovering.
Yeah, he's struggling a little bit right now. I talked about him on the air. You may have heard me say that, but I have great respect for him. He was really good to me, too. You know, players, old school players especially, like to talk about as far as their trades, you get good spins and bad spins. Some things you just can't control in this game. I got a really good spin when I got traded from the White Sox to the Dodgers in 1988 and got to be there for their last World Series championship. And even being there at Dodger Stadium and seeing Oral Hershiser and Fernando Valenzuela and some of the guys from those years that were teammates, and you know, I was just along for the ride. And, you know, that's how I felt about my career. I was just in a lot of good places at the right time, a lot like Forrest Gump, you know, if you know that movie. He just kind of shows up and good things happen. And that was kind of how my career was. And I feel a little bit like that as it relates to broadcasting, too. It's just been fun to be in the right place at the right time.
He's great to follow on Twitter, and he posted, if I'm not mistaken, something along the lines of, "When in Rome, and we will replace Rome with the Dodger Stadium." And you enjoyed a Dodger dog.
I did. I got a lot of flack on that picture because it's pretty disgusting looking picture of a half-eaten Dodger dog. But the point was, that sometimes you just have to enjoy the local amenities. And I do like to travel in baseball. That's been one of the fun things about interleague play, which I originally didn't like, is you get to go see new places. We went to Yankee Stadium this year, and of course we've been to Minnesota, been to Seattle, a lot of places that we don't normally go to. So I like to kind of get into where we go and try to share some of that on Twitter.
We used to have dome dogs at the Metrodome here in Minnesota, and that was a darn good hot dog, real tasty. I don't know that I've had a better tasting hot dog anywhere else, and I've been
it's to tough all to beat a dome dog.
Yeah, all but five ballparks. And so I'll ask you, what's a hot dog or a treat that stands out from all your travels?
Well, you know, I end up eating the media dining quite a bit, which I would say that standing out would be the wrong phrase for that. I mean,
yeah, right.
It doesn't really compete with the experience. And honestly, it's I feel like it's a little different when you're working at a game than the days I remember. I still remember the hot dogs at Shea Stadium as a kid. I grew up in New York watching the Mets play, and there's just something about the experience of being at the ballpark, which has the sights and the sounds and the, you know, there's no clock, and there's just, you know, there's food that you probably would say is a little bit high in fat and all the things you probably shouldn't be eating, but you don't care because you're at a baseball game with your dad or with your mom or with your brother and sister. And it's a fun place to be, and I still try to stay in touch with that.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Humphrey Bogart who once said, "I'd rather have a ballpark at the have a hot dog at the ballpark than a steak at, you know, the fanciest
right.
restaurant in New York."
Exactly.
So, that's a great line. I've not heard that. I might have to. Can I steal that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just type in Humphrey Bogart. Okay. Probably hot dog will find
beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
And during the broadcast, just say, "I heard this on my friends at 1500 ESPN." The Twins.
You are going to get some props tonight.
Awesome. So I have to bring this up, Rick. You were a member of the 1987 Cardinals World Series team. So I want to ask this question this way, because we have very few things we can cling to in this town. The Vikings always let us down. You know, we lost hockey for a while. The Wolves have been garbage for 10 years. We have two things. We have the 87 and the 91 World Series, and that's it. But I got to tell you, so I was down visiting my good friend here across the table from me in St. Louis, and I was wearing a Twin shirt. And people are still mad, even though the Cardinals have been dominant for decades.
Hey, let's put it this way. You're better off than having worn a Kansas City Royals because we were fresh off of losing the 85 World Series, too.
Yeah.
And in seven, by the way, the same deal. And there was that play at the end that in game six that become kind of famous. So there was a lot of wounds, I think, that still exist from Cardinal fans, maybe more so than even the players. But when you get to 87, you kind of still feel that, okay, this is our sense of redemption here for having lost in 85. And so when we didn't win, I think that was a part of the angst that is kind of still around is because we, again, failed to win that important game seven.
You know, and Rick, when we go back to that 87, I mean, that's the team, the 1987 Twins. I was a kid. I was 8 years old. That's the team that absolutely made me fall in love with baseball.
Same here.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was 7 years old.
But it's funny because that was a team, too, that they just played great at home. They got hot. They were expected to get clobbered by the Tigers in the league championship series. And when they won that series in five games, they knew that they were going to have four games at home and it was going to be tough to beat them. But I still, and I'm not trying to poo-poo the championship, but if you've got a healthy Jack Clark and a healthy Terry Pendleton, I think the Cardinals come out victorious in that series.
Well, it's always part of the game. We lost Vince Coleman in 85, too. He lost a battle with the tarp, if you remember that story. He got actually caught underneath the tarp and broke his leg and wasn't able to play in 85 for us. So in 87, you've got Jack Clark, who injures his ankle in September, and Terry Pendleton, who had a rib injury and he could only bat left-handed. And you know, but honestly, that's part of the game. I mean, you've got to find ways to overcome that and win anyway. That's what you do all season long. And I don't think players like to make that excuse, but I know fans hold on to that. You know, Jack was a big part of our offense. You know, that's back in the day when you'd have one or two guys in your lineup that could hit home runs. Now you got everybody that can do it, as strong as players are. So it's evolved into a little bit different game, but Jack was clearly a leader. So we had to rely on guys like Tom Lawless to hit home runs in the World Series.
And then he did a bat flip off Viola.
Tom is a great friend of mine, and I see him all the time. He still lives in St. Louis, and I can't tell you the amount of mileage he's gotten from that one swing of the bat, and
awesome.
I can't tell you the number of times I've abused him publicly for flipping the bat on a home run that grazed the top of the wall when it went out.
One last question for me before Kurt takes over, Rick. How loud was it inside the dome?
Oh, it was crazy loud. I was actually wearing earplugs, and I know Joe McGrain pitched in earplugs in game one. And because it was just he was warming up, and then somebody made the suggestion, well, maybe you ought to try that. So he actually wore earplugs, I wouldn't use them pitching. That just seemed a little odd, but he was using them pitching, and you know, he was a rookie. Joe was. He'd had a great season, and that noise level, you couldn't have a conversation with the person sitting next to you. I mean, that's part of being at a ball game for me, but it is an indication of just how rabid the fans were and how much they loved. I mean, and how do you not love Gaetti and Herbeck and Kirby Puckett and, you know, Bruno and, you know, all that team was a good, fun team to watch play. Unfortunately, it wasn't as much fun when you're trying to win a World Series again.
No doubt about it. It's great to catch up with Rick Horton, Cardinals broadcaster. And for me, you know, the connection is weird because I'm born and raised here in Minnesota. I did not grow up in a sports-loving family at all, just no sports whatsoever. So I'm growing up and I'm like, oh, the Twins are in the World Series. I better watch this. And then I get into baseball. But it's just so interesting to me that I end up moving to St. Louis and falling in love with the Cardinals, who unfortunately lost that World Series.
Well I got to tell you another oddity about that series. I'm sitting next to John Rooney, who was broadcasting games for the Twins that year. Before moving on to the White Sox, where I got traded later, and we were together there after having been together in the minor leagues, and now we're partners here on the Cardinal Radio Network. So it's kind of fun how things get tied together in this game and how you connect with people. But, you know, I would say that was like the Kansas City series, it was a very, a nice Midwest series where there wasn't hatred, there wasn't kind of a lot of craziness. It's just good old-fashioned baseball.
You're a good dude, Rick Horton. I appreciate your work, and I really appreciate the time.
Good to be with you guys.
Thanks for the conversation, Rick.
Cardinals broadcaster Rick Horton with us. It is the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. More next.
You're listening to the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest on 1500 ESPN.
Reavers is asking me for my social media handle. It is at Mr. Kurt Copeland, that being MrCurtCopeland.
Well, that's because I'm sending out a tweet of thanks to my new best friend in the whole wide world, Rick Horton. That was fun. I was just going to say,
kudos to you two. That was fantastic.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Yeah,
you know what's interesting? I do a little bit of radio work now, just part-time, in St. Louis at the Cardinals flagship station. And I've
interviewed the big KMOX.
Big KMOX, 50,000 watts down there. And it's funny, I've met Rick, I think, twice, and I think I interviewed him for a previous station once before. So he and I, we don't know each other very
well. But you've talked before, sure.
Yeah. And so I was we were talking about doing this, and it just became obvious immediately, of course, Rick Horton, a member of the Cardinals, in that 87 team against the Twins. And so I was really glad that he'd make the time to join us today. You're right. It was a fun conversation.
Well, that in a nutshell right there, Manny, that's why I love baseball, and I'll tell you why. Because, we were talking about the state of the NFL and how I'm turned off by certain aspects of it. So many people like that exist in the world of baseball, which is what makes it great.
Yeah.
And for me, because it's my favorite sport, I could talk about it for 3 hours on every show. The program director might disagree and have different opinions, because I'll do it in February. I don't care. I love baseball.
It's true.
But that's why old school baseball guys are the absolute best.
You're absolutely right. I believe that baseball really lends itself to conversation more so than the other sports. And the other sports do. I mean, you could sit and talk hockey and football and basketball until you're, blue in the face. But yeah, I mean, I think baseball is just, it's not only the best conversational sport, but it's also I think it's the best spectator sport because you can have a good
time. There's downtime.
Yeah, there is downtime. And people talk about the pace of the game. I'm like, that's part of what's so great about it.
Well, and baseball to me is the sport that's really, I think, almost essential for certain young men because it's a sport that teaches you how to fail.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a sport that you
fail more often than you succeed,
and that's a valuable tool in life. It really, really is. I mean, look at around what's going on right now. I mean, Joe spends 2 hours every day talking about the decline of the academy and the decline of civilization, and rightfully so. But that's because so many kids now, when they played soccer, they didn't keep score or whatever. No, you got to learn how to lose. You got to learn how to fail. That's so necessary in life.
That conversation has come up, and Rick Horton mentioned Shea Stadium. He grew up, I think he was born in Poughkeepsie, New York. So I think he was a Mets fan growing up, if I'm not mistaken. And there's an interesting story when you watch that great Ken Burns documentary about baseball. They talk about what the Mets were to the Yankees. They were like antimatter. So you had people would say because the Yankees just win all the time and the Mets were, kind of these lovable losers, and then the Miracle Mets, of course, in 69 put it all together to beat the Orioles. But somebody said this great quote, I think it was Robert Angel. He says, there's a lot more Met in us than Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's a great analogy because if you think about it, it's just a lot more losing in life, unfortunately, than winning. And hopefully you celebrate your wins and let them mean a heck of a lot more. And you learn from the losses. But
well,
it's true.
Why did 700 million people show up at the Cubs parade for how many decades they were the lovable losers? I mean, that's why so many people in this country gravitated towards that franchise because they were the bad news Bears.
You're right, but I hate to.
I know you do. I know you do.
Winning on the front.
Well, you know what? That's interesting, though. How was that received, in your neck of the woods? Given that it's your arch rival, but okay, because I'll put it this way. I'm probably in the minority, but when the Kansas City, I was so rooting for the Royals.
I was
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a rival of the Twins, but Kansas City's a great baseball town, and that's a franchise that was awful forever. I was so rooting for the Royals to win. Was I rooting for the Cubs? I was just rooting for a good World Series. Unfortunately, we got it.
I have to imagine for people in St. Louis watching the Cubs win the World Series is probably the equivalent of people in Minnesota watching the Packers win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The only thing being is that it happens, the Packers have won so much more.
Right.
And here's why I disagree with that, though, before you answer that question.
Okay.
And I think the part that we have such an issue with it here in Minnesota is because the Vikings have never won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And because, we've never tasted that success. The Cardinals have. That's why I guess why.
So maybe it's more like the Cubs would feel like Vikings fans feel when the Cardinals win the World Series. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
Yep. So for me, I mean, I flash back to October, and, you know, the first thing is that the Cardinals were not in the postseason. So that right off the bat, there's that void. Like, what?
Yeah.
We didn't make the postseason because, you know, you get used to these things.
I love that snobbery too. What? We did not make the postseason?
How the hell did this happen or not happen?
Well, let me ask you this. When in 2015, when the Cubs got to the NLCS and they beat the Cardinals in the NLDS, how was St. Louis at that time?
It was tough because, you know, you hate to lose to the Cubs and then they're going.
Because that was a huge deal in Chicago if you're a Cubs fan, because the Cardinals were like that rivalry, and it was kind of like, yeah, we finally, you know, we got them and we're going to the NLCS and we got our bitter rivals.
So. And we got to beat those guys to go on to some place that we haven't been in a long time.
Right,
there's no denying how much they enjoyed it. There's no denying how much they were just eating it up and loving it. And, you know, of course, you know how social media is when you have friends that are, you know, on the opposing side, you're going to catch all that flack, and there's no doubt about it. And I'm a big-time poster child Cardinals fan, you know what I mean? Like, so people are dogging on me, you know, they're really throwing it at me, and I'm just like...
You know what, though? Outside of how momentous it was, you know who really needed that? Baseball. Baseball needed that run from the Cubs. I really do think so. And in fact, during that World Series run, because we were running the games here on the station, I remember saying, I was having this conversation with either Such or Pat, I can't remember, but I basically said, I think baseball almost wants the Cubs to lose, because once they win, well, now it's gone.
Right.
The whole mystique is gone. So if they, you know, make that postseason run this year, are they going to set it? Are they going to set ratings records again like they did last year? And I think baseball really needed that.
Well, and not only that, they needed the way the World Series went, to seven games, and it, you know, the Cubs are up big and then the Indians come back and tie it up off the Davis home run. They needed that too, because that was that sort of moment in a game seven, and it's the Cubs trying to win it, and it's the Indians who themselves haven't won in 50 years.
That's where I was, because you know, I mean, like, you know, I strongly dislike the Cubs. I did not want them to win. And then additionally, I wanted Cleveland to pick up their title.
Do I have my that button bar up, Manny?
Yep.
So I'm guessing you missed this. Theo Epstein gave the commencement address at Yale, right, Manny? Was it Yale?
I think it was Yale.
Okay, so he went to Yale, and they had him come back to give the commencement address. And this is great. It's a minute long. It's a minute 15. He was sitting in Game 7. He was sitting in the stands with his 8-year-old son, who's a baseball nerd, you know, and he was talking about win probability during the kid was telling his dad. He's like, Dad, you got to listen to this, all right? So it's Theo Epstein's kid at the Yale commencement address. I believe this was last Saturday.
I watched Game 7 from the stands with my colleagues, my wife Marie, and my oldest son Jack, who was then 8 years old. Jack, a big baseball fan and the math whiz of the family, kept me updated on the Cubs' win probability throughout the course of the game. So as we enjoyed a 2-run lead after 5 innings, he tapped me on the leg. Dad, we have a 67% chance of winning the World Series. Remember, it's baseball, and lots of things can happen. Mm-hmm. Later, we had a 3-run lead with just 4 outs to go in the game. Nobody on base, and the bottom of the Indians' order. Jack put his arm around me. Dad, we have a 97% chance of winning the World Series. I know, buddy, I know. But Dad, first time in 108 years. Just then, out of nowhere, as storm clouds moved into the area, an infield single, a double, an errant fastball, a fateful swing, an impossible home run, and a tie game. Just then I felt another tap on my leg. Dad, we definitely have less than a 50% chance of winning the World Series.
Awesome.
That was a great story.
I'm glad you played that. I'm able to laugh at that. That's able to, you know, it's kind of...
And you know what? That's why I love Theo. Because for as much as he's being credited as a genius, rightfully so, by the way, he has destroyed two curses, the two most legendary curses
in
all of baseball.
He'll go to the Hall of
Fame, I think. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But he has that bit of humility to him that makes him very likable.
I'll give you that.
You know?
I'll give you that.
He has that about him. Like, I could hang out with Theo. I could have a beer with Theo. Even though I'm never going to have a beer with Theo, but he's the kind of guy I could have a beer with.
Man, I don't like the Cubs.
I know you don't.
I don't like the Cubs. You know, like, their jerseys, their uniform is terrible.
You know what you are? You're Randy in Cottage Grove. That's you don't even know. You know
what?
You
gotta put Clamato in, or it ain't gonna taste right.
Thank you, Manny. That is you,
I
Kurt.
Like Clamato.
You are Randy in Cottage Grove.
Oh, we're having a blast. Glad to have you aboard. It's the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. More next.
This is the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest on 1500 ESPN.
The Friday Fill-In Fun Fest continues, and we wish you and yours the very best. A happy and safe Memorial Day weekend, and we remember what it's all about. Of course, thoughts and prayers. Manny Hill has this sports update for us.
Thank you, gentlemen. This update is brought to you by GNC. It's GNC's lowest prices of the season, till now through June 7th on diet and test support, fish oil, and more. Change begins at GNC, a select products only. Season is March 30th through May 31st. All right, Minnesota Twins, they host the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend, and the series starts tonight at Target Field. First pitch at 7:10. Hector Santiago will face off against Chris Archer. Twins lineup tonight, Brian Dozier, Joe Mauer, Miguel Sano, Max Kepler, Kenny Vargas, Jorge Polanco, Eddie Rosario, Byron Buxton, and Jason Castro. Some tough news out of Twins minor league camp. Double A pitching prospect Nick Birdie, he has a torn UCL and he appears headed for Tommy John surgery. He was having a good year, season ERA at 0.53. So some tough news there. That from Mike Berardino of the Pioneer Press. Gopher baseball, they lost earlier today in their second game of the Big Ten tournament, 11-7 to Northwestern. Their second game of the day against Indiana is underway as we speak. They're in the, looks to be the bottom of the second inning, scoreless. Gophers have a runner at second base.
You know why I know that, Manny? Because I'm watching that game on this beautiful TCL Roku 4K TV that's in this studio. This thing's the size of my first car, for God's sake.
If I talk nice about it, will they send one over to the house?
Maybe. Probably not.
I'm going to tell you, you know how when you go to the store and they have all those TVs and you can tell which one's maybe just better than the other ones?
Right.
This one puts them all to shame.
I know. But here's my question. So they're playing this at Indiana's stadium, right, on campus?
Yep.
They've got like the nice cobblestone in the back. This is a beautiful ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get people to show up for Indiana baseball?
I would think. I mean, it's the Midwest. I would think you'd probably get a good crowd.
That's a basketball school.
How often do you find the home team is the away team?
Well, it's the tournament.
Sure,
it's the Big Ten tournament.
You know, but even still, it's always weird, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, and especially when you are there.
No, the best, Kurt, was when the Big Ten baseball tournament was here, 2013?
13 or 14.
Something like that. And the Gophers didn't make it. There were nine people in the stands for those games.
Rah, 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 for Skyuma.
Vikings coach Mike Zimmer, he spoke to the media this morning via a conference call. Of course, he's been away from the team since having his eighth eye surgery since November. He had that surgery on May 17th. Of course, Reavers talked about the quote that pretty much everybody's been talking about today, saying he's, you know, quote, "I'll be back shortly, one eye or two, doesn't really matter, I'm going to be back," end quote. Zimmer also said today he did see the video of the video the team posted of Teddy Bridgewater throwing at OTAs, and he said, quote, "He's throwing the ball well, he's got good velocity, accurate, he's working his rear end off, it just makes you proud for him. He's still got a long ways to go, but he's progressing as well as anybody could expect, I would think," end quote. So, Coach Zimmer, confident in Teddy's return, although the team I don't think is maybe quite as confident, so we'll see how that goes. One last thing before we break here, guys. Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah. What did he do?
Oh, that's right.
He apparently lost some money last night. Turner Sports NBA analyst apparently bet on the Senators to win Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night.
How much? Do we know?
He does not say how much. Of course, Barkley was working Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA last night in Boston. Apparently went into a media room and during the game and asked someone to turn on the hockey game because he had money on the Senators. Of course, Ottawa lost Game 7 in double overtime, 3-2 to the Penguins. So
how bad is his I mean, is it a problem?
I know I think in the past he said it's not a problem, but he likes to gamble.
Well, there's the infamous story about, I forget which book that he was at, where he was asked to leave because he didn't pay. He owed a couple mil. And they said, Charles, you can't keep playing.
But he paid all that back.
Right. He eventually did, but they basically made him stop playing because
Who took him to task publicly for that about 6 months ago?
Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember the story.
Somebody got sick of it. LeBron did.
Yeah, that's right. It was LeBron.
Because Charles said something about, because LeBron was whining about the management needs to get a better team with me and all this other stuff. And Charles took a shot at LeBron, and LeBron said, okay, I got some stuff for you, buddy. So
who's he got in the finals?
I would think he'd probably pick Golden State. You're talking about betting?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
He probably doesn't even know who the Penguins are playing yet.
Oh, no. He's a huge hockey fan.
Is he really?
No. Every day he's talking about how he hates the NBA final this year, and he's spending all of his time watching hockey.
That's cool.
Has been a big topic on Mike and Mike.
Okay. Spending all his time or his money?
Yeah.
Probably both.
A little bit of both, yeah. So there you go, guys.
Let's take us a break. It's the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. More next. Good song, isn't it? Galvanize, right?
I love this tune.
You know what I always think of when I hear this tune?
That Budweiser commercial?
No, they would play this sometimes when they're introducing the Timberwolves starting lineup. Mm-hmm. When I'd go to games, they'd play this song sometimes
to
do the countdown.
Who spins that record, or spins those tunes for the Timberwolves? My buddy, DJ Dudley D.
Oh.
He's a great, by the way, he's literally the best. Not DJ in terms of being a jock, like, hey, I'm Kurt Copeland on KS95. Not that DJ.
Did I ever sound like that on the radio?
No, but that's that's me doing my fake radio voice.
Because
I was so bad at it, that's why they had to, you better do talk radio, son, because you're really bad at this FM stuff. Why did I get there? Oh, but DJ, that's a great gig, man. He's, he gets to do all these club gigs, and then he gets to go work the Wolves game or the Gophers game, and mm-hmm. That's what you call good time DJ money right there is what you call that.
No doubt about that. Friday Fill-In Fun Fest continues. That is Manny Hill. That is Chris Reavers.
So, should I do this story?
Well, yeah.
Have you heard this story, Manny?
I don't, probably not.
A woman in California has married a train station.
Oh, I heard you guys talking about this earlier. Oh, my God.
So, normally, this is the Friday Fill-In Fun Fest. This is Afternoun Drive on the big sports talk radio station. But this story's too good to pass up. I'm sorry. Normally, we want to do sports, but... okay.
All aboard!
She has spent 36 years in love with and says they have sex mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Santa Fe, 45, claims that she has been in love with Santa Fe train station in California since she was 9 years old. The volunteer support worker from San Diego takes a 45-minute bus ride to the station every day to spend time with the building, which she calls Deidra. D-A-I-D-R-A. Deidra?
Deidra.
All right.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful train station.
Although the marriage is not legally binding, Carol states it was the happiest day of their lives when they tied the knot back in 2005. She celebrated the one-year anniversary.
Railroad ties.
She celebrated the one-year anniversary last Christmas. Carol says that she has sex with the building mentally and identifies herself as an objectum...
Objectum sexualist.
A person who is sexually attracted to intimate objects and structures.
So I was listening to you guys.
Wow.
Before I jumped on here at 3 o'clock, and you guys were talking about that story and the movie that jumped into my, because to you guys it was like I'd never heard about anything like this before.
Sure.
And in my mind, I'm like, oh my, I'm familiar with this. No. Just because I'm from St. Louis doesn't mean I have a relationship with a gateway archer or anything.
I was just thinking, where in the hell are you going with this, son?
So one night, you know how it is. You're sitting there, you're rolling through the TV channels. You should just go to bed, but you're just trying to stay up or whatever it is. Okay. I hit upon this movie, and it was shocking. It was a movie called, if I'm not mistaken, I Married the Eiffel Tower. And it's a documentary, which you can look up. I believe it was produced in Europe somewhere. But at any rate, this woman who was, if I'm not mistaken, was serving our country in the Air Force in Japan, had a relationship with a katana blade, right, a ninja sword kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had also had a quote-unquote real relationship with a human male. That human male...
Time out.
Yeah, what?
So, woman, yeah. We'll just call her Crazy Train.
Uh-huh.
So, she's got a regular relationship with Joe.
Right.
Whatever his name is.
Human being.
But she's also got a relationship with the sword.
Cheating on a guy with
okay.
the sword.
So, did the guy know that she's got... The side relationship?
I'm not sure, but this
the reason I ask that is because if he's in the know, if everybody's cool with that, if everything's out on the open, is there jealousy involved?
Well, here's what happened. So he got he assaulted her.
Oh.
He did assault her at one point. I don't know the circumstances by which this assault took place, but
getting an
assault
now.
Happened.
All right.
She killed him with the sword.
Oh no.
The sword, then there was a court-martial hearing because I believe it was a fellow officer.
This sounds like a made-up story.
I'm telling you, I watched this movie. I told you I was in shock. I wasn't even sure it was real. I thought, maybe this is a spoof. Maybe this is all just made up. And maybe at the end it was. But I did look it up, and there was some verification here. So she killed the guy. There was a court-martial. The sword was taken as evidence. And so she was very distraught over losing her lover.
Yeah.
So... that's okay. She rebounded quickly. She was honorably, she was discharged. And then she met the Eiffel Tower. And she fell in love with the Eiffel Tower. And she married the Eiffel Tower. Mm-hmm. And in the film, and don't worry, I won't get carried away, she did, you kind of get a sense of her consummating said relationship by climbing onto the Eiffel Tower at one particular point.
I had just read another quote in reading deeper into Carol, the gal that's married the train station. Well, see, here's the part that gets me. I know we got a break. Carol did not discover this until she was 40 after she searched online, quote, "I'm in love with a building," end quote.
Oh, my God.
I'm in love with a building.
I'm in love with a building.
Wow. T-Pain, make the song.
Yeah. Erica Eiffel.
Yeah, Erica Eiffel.
Is the person you're referring to.
That I'm talking to. And so that
she married the Eiffel Tower in 2007.
And then they made this great documentary about it, which will just blow your mind. And then also in that documentary, she spends some time with a friend of hers who's married to the Berlin Wall, and they tore that down.
Well, wait a minute.
So her friend, yeah.
Wait a minute. We're missing the boat here. What if I married Target Field? St. Peter, are you listening? That means I get to go to Twins games for free. That's my wife.
They can't deny you.
Right. I'm married to US Bank Stadium, Ziggy. I get to go for free. We're all insane. You do realize that, right? We've lost our minds.
Well, with that being said, let's take a break. Back to wrap things up after this. It's the Friday Fill In Fun Fest. Hey, we're chasing 6 o'clock here, and wow, Memorial Day weekend. And so much going on. I mean, let's recap. We talked about hockey. We have our Stanley Cup Finals all set. We've talked about baseball.
You know what we've done, though?
Twins homestand this weekend. We talked about, we got Minnesota United FC. We got action.
Yeah,
right
tomorrow, 7 o'clock, right here on this radio station.
That's right.
We've neglected our guy, Manny, though.
Yeah.
Manny, we're sorry.
That's okay.
We haven't talked any NBA Finals action. We're finally there, although...
You know what? I'm just ready for the damn finals to start because all of this stuff all this MJ versus LeBron nonsense stuff on Twitter is just giving me a headache.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I was actually kind of looking forward to watching the game last night. Listen to the game on this radio station last night after the beer show. It was such a dud. Game sucked.
I know.
As all of the games basically have this postseason.
I know. It sucks because, I mean, this is kind of the matchup everybody anticipated since October, or really since Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors last summer. Everybody was just kind of like, yeah, it's going to be Warriors-Cavs again.
It's one of the biggest no-brainers ever.
Yeah, but it's going to do, the ratings are going to be through the roof.
Yes,
they're
going
to do really well because this is the one everybody has wanted to see. So.
Do the Cavs have a chance?
Yeah, they got a shot. I would guess the Warriors are probably going to win in probably six, but... I mean, anything can happen. I mean, everybody thought the Warriors were going to win last year. And
is game one in Golden State?
Yep.
Game one's in Golden State.
The Warriors have the home court advantage for the third straight year of this matchup.
Who does Charles Barkley have his money on?
Ottawa.
I would think most people probably think the Warriors are going to win.
I can't tell you how hard I'm going to root for the Cavaliers because I just despise Golden State. And it's this festering hatred that's grown for about the last 12 months. I don't know why.
Since Durant went there,
It's not even that. It was even before because Steph is kind of one of those guys that's wearing on my last nerve. So anyway.
It's great to be on with you,
Reavers. Thanks, homie. That was fun.
Sure, this was
Manny,
fun, dude.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Y'all have yourselves a great Memorial Day weekend. Be safe, and thanks to those who gave their lives in defense of our freedom. We love you.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.